55 of our 550 entered Gaza the next day, still bleeding from the attacks of these Egyptian security forces. And we entered Gaza with this huge convoy, which had been massively publicized as a result of the attack, as a result of the blocking of the convoy, to a predictable welcome from the Palestinians in Gaza. And huge though our aid was, it was of course again just a drop in the ocean of troubles afflicting the Palestinians under siege. Just because it's not on the television now, don't forget what's happening there. People are eating food from garbage heaps. 80%, 80, it's a magic number. 80% of the Palestinians in Gaza are unemployed. 80% of them are living on less than $1 a day. And 80% of the children of Gaza are medically, clinically, suffering from malnutrition or undernutrition. People can't get medicine, can't get medical help, can't get out for operations, are imprisoned and besieged in this tiny piece of land, 25 miles long, 4.5 miles wide. And they're imprisoned not just by Israel, but by the Arab Republic of Egypt, the great Egypt, the Egypt of Jamal Abdel Nasser, the Egypt of Al-Azhar, the Egypt which liberated the Suez Canal. Its name is being dragged through the dust by the tin pot dictatorship of Hosni Mubarak. And I know not, some of you don't like me saying that, but there's no getting away from this. I kept quiet for years about this dictatorship, but I can keep quiet about it no longer. I know that in politics, I've always followed the rule that I will never say something I don't believe, but I don't have to say everything that I believe. Sometimes it's necessary to be diplomatically quiet. But I tell you, if it was not for the dictatorship in Egypt, there would be no siege on Gaza. The Rafah gate could be open. All those children could have food, could have medicine. The doctors could come and go. There would be no siege if it were not for the collaborator regime, for the moment, still in power in Cairo. And when we left Gaza, my friend Ron Mackay with the camera there and I, we left in the dead of night because we were told that something was going to happen to me. And we didn't want it to happen when we were with 550 people, because we knew the result would be violence, and we'd had enough violence from the Egyptian regime. So we left at the dead of night, were arrested by plainclothes mukhabarat, driven to the airport, forced into the airport, followed around the airport, even to the toilets. And then an official stepped forward and told me I was being deported from Egypt and I was being declared persona non grata, which for the non-Latin speakers amongst you means a person without status. Well, I say here now, and I'll go on saying, the people who are without status in Egypt are the Mubarak dictatorship, who are hated by the vast majority of the people of that country. At the same time, they announced there would be no more convoys would be allowed to enter Gaza through Egypt. And of course, none can enter Gaza through Israel. So they thought that they had stopped the efforts to break the siege on Gaza. But they forgot about the sea. For those who have the courage to take to it, it is possible to enter Gaza by sea, and that's what we'll be doing under the leadership of the Turkish IHH in just a few days' time. There are many tensions, many difficulties. State politics, international politics is of course involved. But the convoy goes with the blessing of Erdogan and the government of Turkey. Most of the people and most of the ships and most of the aid are Turkish. So Israel faces a choice. They have said that they will stop this flotilla, if necessary by force, on the high seas from entering Gaza. Well, if Israel uses force to stop this flotilla, they will be placing themselves on a collision course with a Turkey that is growing stronger, whose prestige is growing with every day that passes. And the remaining relations between Israel and Turkey will be gravely imperiled. I don't know if the ships will get through. We are not responsible for whether or not they get through. On the judgment day, on the last day, we will be asked by the Almighty not what other people did, but what we did. And we'll be able to say, we tried to take ships into Gaza. Israel can answer for any refusal of the humanitarian aid that we are trying to take through. But we at least will be able to place before the Almighty our own record and our own efforts. And we hope that they will be received in the spirit in which we embark on this great journey. Viva Palestina is a part of the convoy under the leadership of IHH. Viva Palestina USA exists. I hope you'll go to its website. I hope you'll support its work, vivapalestinausa.org. But I wanted to talk to you about the next project after this flotilla. I'm organizing a summer University of Palestine in Lebanon on the 25th of July this year, in a beautiful university in the Bekaa Valley, with first-class accommodation, separate accommodation for women and men. We're bringing speakers from all over the world, Finkelstein from the United States, speakers from all over the Arab world, speakers from Britain and Europe, the top speakers on Palestine. The university will last for 1 week from the 25th of July. It's an attempt to create 500 newly empowered and better educated activists who can listen to speeches, who can react to those speeches, who can talk and learn from each other and amongst themselves, who can learn how to give interviews, how to conduct interviews, how better to write things, how better to present our case. And if it works, we'll hold another one at Christmas, New Year, in Aqaba, and then another one next summer, again in Lebanon. Every year we'll have a summer University of Palestine until Palestine is free. When we'll be able to hold it in the Holy Land the next year. I hope some of you will come. Bear in mind, you can't enter Lebanon if you have an Israel stamp in your passport. But if you're interested, go to the vivapalestina.org website. Click on Viva Palestina Arabia, which is the Arab section of Viva Palestina, which is organizing this summer university. We have many tasks. We have much work to do. But I honestly believe that we are winning. Israel has spent massively from its account of political capital in the world.